The scripture reading this morning comes from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 20. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flock at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was there laying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about the child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. May God add his blessing to the reading of this word.
Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." It's been a tough week, hard week around the world. And I've wondered to myself, quite honestly with you, with all of the horror and with the death of the innocents that we've heard, the women, the men, the children of Aleppo in Syria, some of them evacuating, but others not making it. I mean, how does this word that comes to us about on earth peace or peace on earth seem like something that's just really nothing more than a far-fetched story, maybe a fanciful kind of fairy tale? You know, we hear the stories, we see the pictures, they portray them on the screens, we see them on the TV, our TVs and on our computers and phones, and we can see for ourselves the butchery and the slaughter and the bombing. And you wonder, why is it that we find ourselves able to embrace a faith that sometimes seems to promise so much to us and yet deliver so little? It has that feel sometimes to us. It seems hollow in a world where bombs drop and the innocent are massacred. I mean, we use the word fake news, where you see the innocents bombed and killed. Can the story that we've been working through in Advent and up to Christmas feel more like fake news than real and good news? How could it be, or is it really possible that a first century Middle Eastern infant born to a teenage girl, conceived not, so we're told, by relations with any man, but by an act of God, could actually truly be the answer to the deepest and the darkest problems in our world? Is that possible? I had a funeral service this past week, and I read from John chapter 14. And this infant whose birth we celebrate at Christmas, he's now a grown man, and here's what he says. John 14, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And you read that and you think, really? The way? The truth? The life? You know, C.S. Lewis, he was a secular atheist intellect, and he became a Christian. And he writes in his book, Mere Christianity, a series really of talks around the time of the Second World War, 1940s, in response to some who suggested that this was just a far-fetched, fanciful fairy tale. And he writes this in response to that. You'll have to work it for me, Lori. There we go. Oh, it is working. But he writes, I'm trying here to prevent anyone saying the really foolish thing that people often say about him, about Jesus. I'm ready to accept Jesus as a great moral teacher, but I don't accept his claim to be God. That's the one thing we must not say. A man who was merely a teacher and said the sort of things Jesus said would not have been a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on the level with a man who says he is a poached egg, good story with the eggs this morning, or else he would be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool, you can spit at him, you can kill him as a demon, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not come with any patronizing nonsense about his being a great human teacher. He has not left that open to us. He did not intend to. What was it that convinced Lewis that Christianity was something more than a fairy tale? In fact, Lewis would say it was a fairy tale that's come true. It was the fact that the baby born in Bethlehem, whose birth we're celebrating next Sunday morning at 10 o'clock here at Knox, this baby was the one who would grow up to be crucified, to be buried, and then raised bodily to life from the dead. It was resurrection that convinced him. Lewis saw that Christianity and Easter belong together. Now, some have suggested, many have suggested actually, the resurrection of Jesus was a hoax or a legend. Back in the 19th century, Simon Greenleaf was a distinguished professor of law at Harvard University in the U.S., and he was that kind of person. He was an atheist. He was a complete skeptic about the resurrection of Jesus. He had three of his law students who challenged him to investigate that, to look into that. And he felt compelled to do that, and so he set about to examine the evidence. And he found, quite contrary to the position that he had held, that the position of the students, what the understanding of the students, made real sense. He discovered the evidence was overwhelming, and that based on the evidence, it took more faith not to believe that Jesus rose from the dead than to believe. Faith to believe that Jesus had risen from the dead. Through 2,000 years, the lives of millions, millions, millions of people have been changed and dramatically changed and transformed by the risen and the living Jesus Christ. A few years ago, Bono from U2 said this in an interview he gave. He said, what you're left with is either Christ was who he said he was, the Messiah, or a complete nutcase. I mean, we're talking nutcase on the level of Charles Manson. This was a man, like some of the people we've been talking about earlier in this particular interview, this man was strapping himself to a bomb. He had King of the Jews on his head, and as they were putting him up on the cross, was going, okay, martyrdom, here we go, bring on the pain, I can take it. I'm not joking here, Ponnell says. The idea that the entire course of civilization for over half of the globe could have its fate changed and turned upside down by a nutcase, for me, that's what's far-fetched. And his point here, as I read this, as I pondered it, is he's saying, listen, you've got to check out the followers of Jesus. If you really want to see if this Christmas and this Easter resurrection thing, you got to check this out to see what it's really all about. Scott Sauls, who's a Presbyterian pastor in the U.S., he writes in really an exceptional book that he's written, Jesus Outside the Lines. He writes that billions of lives over the centuries have been changed. Liars becoming more honest. Crooks returning what they have stolen. Anxious and dying people finding peace. Cowardly and fearful people finding courage. Hurtful people asking forgiveness of those they have hurt. Bodies wasting away as the souls who inhabit those bodies become more alive. Business people doing the less profitable thing because it is the right thing. aimless people finding meaning in their lives, spouses staying committed to each other through the hard and dry seasons, addicts becoming sober, adulterers becoming chaste, pregnant mothers continuing their pregnancies knowing that they are carrying a child with Down syndrome, rejected and unappreciated parents persisting in unconditional love toward their straying and entitled children, bereaved parents understanding that their greatest and most worthwhile task in life is to wrestle toward forgiving their beloved daughter's abductor and murderer, just as God, through Jesus, has forgiven them. These are only a few examples of how Jesus Christ changes lives. Now you hear that, I hear that, read that, and I say, so what about what's going on right now in Aleppo, in Syria, and about this on earth peace, peace on earth, this Christmas thing? The people, the children of Aleppo, and the people, the children of Syria indeed, they need to see how the Jesus Christ of Christmas and Easter, of resurrection, really, truly does change people's lives for the better, for the best of life, here and now and forever. Anne Voskamp, who lives up in the Listowel area on a farm in the countryside there, she is one such changed follower of Jesus. And what you have up on the screen now is a picture of Anne's daughter with her friend of 3 months. This is an 11-year-old girl. Her name is Sham, S-H-A-M, but it's pronounced S-H-E-M, Shem. And she arrived from Aleppo 3 months ago in Toronto. And here they are, this picture just taken in the course of the last week. Here are the two of them. Shem being here in Canada now for 3 months, and Anne's daughter there. And they're waiting for a flight to arrive with more people, children, coming from war-torn Syria. And on her blog this past Tuesday, Anne Voskamp writes of meeting Shem for the first time 3 months ago. And this is what she wrote. She's writing about this new addition to their family, about Shem. "You, with not even a backpack of belongings, fleeing the raining bombs, otherwise known as the hell of Aleppo. Your home of Aleppo has become the mouth of a monster, Shem. A monster that devours indiscriminately the dreams and hopes and years and future of 11-year-old girls." And then this woman, who has experienced the Christmas and resurrection change of life that Jesus Christ gives, writes this: "The miracle of hope converted me, Shem. And this believing in change and hope and waging war and waging peace and warring with love, this wasn't a sham. Love came down to change the world through us." Through us. Through us. Brenda, has she gone out? I just want to again thank, there you are, Brenda and all others. We got others here on our refugee sponsorship team. But not only them, all of you, all of us as a congregation here in Knox, through us. This is love come down to change the world through us. One family already here now, and another family potentially to come. And on the praise song of the angels rings loud and clear right into our present day. "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom His favor rests." And that's not fake news. That's real news. It's good news, and it's true news. It's exactly what C.S. Lewis learned. It's a fairy tale come true. It's God's gift in Jesus Christ for a peace-starved world to live with the assurance, to live with the peace of Christmas and Easter, of Christmas and resurrection in their hearts and in their lives forever. And it's God's call to those of us who have embraced the change and the hope that's found in Jesus Christ. to do exactly what Ann Voskamp says here, to wage peace and to war with love, because it's love. It's Emmanuel, God with us. It's love that has come down to change the world through us. I'd invite the praise team to come forward. Let's join together. Let's pray.